activities and things. But Lord, we, your people, we set aside this day to think about what it meant for you and what it all means to us, Lord, when you hung on the tree 2,000 years ago. Abba, Father, we thank you. Lord, you sent your Son. You love your Son so much. Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son. Lord, the object and the essence of your love, Lord. Lord, we just come here to think about Jesus, sing about Jesus, and Lord, dance about Jesus and declare who Jesus is to us, Lord. We pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you would encourage us and speak to us today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, welcome. Every time we come to Easter, we think about the cross all the time, but during Easter time, I guess, spend a bit more time just meditating on Jesus, meditating on what he did, you know, what it meant for us. I thought, I had a number of messages, I guess. I was really kind of trying to get, what's the right one, Lord? I have this and that and the other. And then this morning, I sort of got up and typed things up, and I wanted to, I don't know whether I shared this with you, but do you know Jesus was hung on the cross for how long? About 6 hours, yeah. People, this Bible scholars are here saying six hours. And Jesus is the most famous person in the whole wide world. We know very little about his life, actually. We know very little about his boyhood. We know quite a bit about what he said when he started his ministry, but we really know more about his death than his life. And we know him by the way of the Holy Spirit, by speaking to him in prayer, intercession, Bible study, but through the Holy Spirit, we really get to fellowship and know him. But the Bible just devotes so much about the last few hours of Jesus on the cross. And did you know that Jesus said a few words on the cross? How many words? 7. Wow. Thank you. I thought I'll just share that with you. Jesus shed his blood on the cross. When you study the death of Jesus, it's quite incredible how many times the number 7 comes up. You know, he shed his blood 7 separate times, and that when he was on the cross, it was between 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. And as he was hanging there, he spoke 7 words. And first 3 words, he spoke between 9 a.m. to noon, 12 p.m. And then he spoke 4 words, probably around 3 p.m., all very close together. First 3 words, he probably spoke one after the other, almost like an hour apart. And it was all about others that Jesus loved and concerned for us. And then, noon to 3, the whole place become dark. Jesus just laid open and spoke to the Father about it's all between him and God. So that's what it was. I just wanted to quickly share that with you. And before we come to communion table, 7 words of Jesus. And that really shows us who Jesus is. I don't know. When somebody by mistake hurt you, what's your response? I remember when I was a little boy, we were playing with a fishing rod with actual sinker and hook in it. And this guy threw the fish hook. It caught my tip of the finger here in between the nail and the finger. And my hand went, and I was going, scream. Next 5 minutes, all my attention, I don't care what he says. I'm sorry. I don't care. All my attention is here. Pain. And because it's got this hook like that, you can't just take it out. More I try to take it out, I can't take it out. It just tears the flesh apart. And I do remember, I wasn't angry, but like, all my attention was in my finger. And that's how we are. When there is a level of pain and distress, all our attention comes into us. Now, Jesus just got crucified. Soldiers came And I mean, just watching the movie is painful. How many watch the movie, The Passion? Yeah, I watched it. You know, when I buy a DVD, I want to watch a few times. This is one I watched once through. After that, I just dare not put it in again. We had it for so many years, but I just couldn't play every Easter. You know, let's watch it, you know, Nathan. And like a few times you were trying, even Mia, let's watch it. Just can't do it. Just watching the nail going in, oh, just so traumatic. And Jesus' hands and feet, all these huge nails, went right through it. And now he's lifted up. Yeah, this is how you have to push your body up in order to breathe, because you get suffocated with this position there. And so Jesus' back would have been all scratched, because you have to push your body through your legs, through that nail. You know, your body is actually hanging on that nail. You have to push up and get a gulp of air, and then you slump down until you can't do it anymore. You can't just push your body anymore because you're bleeding slowly. It's the most painful death that's devised by a human being, because you don't actually die usually on the same day. It takes between 2 to 6 days to die slowly. You just, your life ebbs away. And when the last strength goes in, you can't push your body. You begin to suffocate. That's how people die on the cross. Jesus just crucified, and the first words that Jesus said must have shocked everybody. Do you remember what that was? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. I think that must have shocked everybody. The Roman soldiers, they just crucified him. They see people in pain. They see people running away. They see people, when you, even movies, like, you know, when people are on the death row, they know you're getting executed. Even with a lethal injection, all kinds of human emotion comes out. Like, no, you know, people, the fear, the tears, that they lose their mind, so to speak. Jesus is crucified. Soldiers just put the nail through, and they are laughing at him. And Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Wow, yeah. That's who Jesus is. That's our Jesus. I don't know when it's the last time I prayed, Father, forgive them. Did you? Lord, forgive my friend for putting that hook in my finger. When somebody drives a nail, maybe they don't know, but when is the last time we respond, Father, forgive them? They're spitting at Jesus. Forgive them, for they do not what they do. This is Jesus that we love. Amen. The world paints all kinds of picture of Jesus. This is the human soul of Jesus. Pure love. Father, forgive them. I don't know. After that, how many have changed? How silent it had become? I don't know. But at least I know that one of the thieves that was on his side changes the opinion of who Jesus was. Because the Bible does say, in the beginning, they were, both of them were mocking Jesus. If you are Christ, come down. But apparently one of them changed their mind. Saying, see, when you see someone facing death under pressure, what really is in the inside comes out. For Jesus, forgiveness comes out, love comes out. Yesterday, I was in the Bible college, you know, got all the lecturers come out, and was like, you know, I didn't know what it was. Just this year, I started doing a little bit of lecture, and I was in the, you know, kind of sneakers and all that. Everybody's in the suit, and I'm going, oh my, I can't hide. Like, you know, I got to hide somewhere. They were asking, you know, all the lecturers to say something, just one word, to welcome all the new students, you know. My word. Everybody had something really nice to say. My word for people who come to Bible college. Let's stay in forgiveness. Learn to forgive and love. Because forgiveness is so important. And it's something that we can remember every time. Jesus, in the very dying moments, he chose to forgive, concern for others. The second word, obviously, was to the thief, the one of the thief who said, "Lord, remember me," because he changed his mind about who Jesus is all about. And Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, you will be with me in paradise." Now, people are mocking. I don't know how many people became silent, but there are still voices of mocking. And when you are in pain, when you are mocked, and the thief on the one side is hurling curse at you, how do you actually differentiate all that and tune in for one amongst many who are hurling insults at you? Tune in for the one with your last ounce of strength to reach out, to pronounce forgiveness and assurance, salvation, assurance of the hope. The final dying man's fear. Jesus puts hope. I've seen some people, you know, at the very last breath, my father-in-law and others in the church and so on. I've seen people with the very last breath. What they need is hope. Is there a hope? Even Christians just need to hear things that Jesus is there. It's okay. Fear not. You never cross that road. But Jesus is taking you right through. You don't have to fear. And Jesus somehow zoom in. I don't know. I think if I was there, I'll just tune them all out. This guy started cursing me anyway. The other cursing me, just rump them all one. You know, you guys all done. Jesus somehow, that little word of one thief changed his mind, saying, "Lord, remember me." Jesus said, "Don't worry. Today, you'll be with me in paradise." Jesus reached out, gave this man hope. Assurance, the final hour of suffering, a criminal. That's our Jesus. It's incredible. Every time we cry, Jesus, he reaches out. He zooms in with the last ounce of his strength. Just go for that one little voice, says, "I need you." Wow. And then just before 12 o'clock, Jesus said, the third one was to his mother Mary, "Woman, behold your son." And then he turned to John, "Behold your mother." The very last concern was for his mother, his family members, those who curse and put nail through his hands. He prayed for them, those enemies. And then those who were indifferent and hurling insults, just one of them nearby now, Jesus reaches out. And then closest and dearest family member, his mother, Jesus remembers. He says, "John, this is your mother." No, it's so wrong. It's actually, you know, parents are not meant to see the, you know, children go first. They're not meant to see their own children's last moments. And Jesus concerned for his own mother. You know, Bible says, in that hour, John took her away. Took Mary away. So that she doesn't have to see the last breath of Jesus. John spared her, took her away in that very hour, around noon, just before it became dark. Jesus said, "This is your son, this is your mother." Just the concern and the wisdom and the care, the kindness of Jesus. I mean, every level of his relationship, he was love. You think about those who persecute him. Think about those who are crying out for help in the very last moment. It's like they completely be indifferent. This criminal, he reach out, keeps hope, and then he sets his home right, and he makes sure his mother doesn't watch his final hour of struggle at the throes of death. That's our Jesus. That's our human Jesus. He's our God. He's also a human being, beautiful human being. You know, some years ago, I've actually heard someone around, probably I think it was the Good Friday kind of, you know, gathering with some kind of a prophetic conference. And this preacher said, I wish I spent less time on thinking about the cross and more time on the resurrection. He said, it's because cross is a defeat, but the resurrection is God's victory. Inside, I thought, ah, no. Not, I was going, ah, inside. No. Cross is a triumph of love. Amen. Cross reveals just who Jesus is. It reveals, illustrates, demonstrates the love of God perfectly. This is what kind of God we are serving. We have all kinds of funny pictures about who God is. This is our God. I was sharing the other day, like, you know, it struck me. Like, I love my family. I might love my son a lot. But, you know, Bible says, Jesus said, you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more, Heavenly Father? What he's saying is that you think you love your children. God the Father is nothing like you. It's nothing like you. No matter how much you love your children, there's still that human element. There is that self thing and all that. God the Father is nothing like us. He's so much better. In comparison to God's love for us, our love for our children, which is the purest, I guess, naturally found love, as a self-sacrificing love, is evil. Compared to God's love, our parental love is evil in comparison. Do you believe that? It's incredible. That's our God's love for us. Amen. It is a victory. Hallelujah. It's the greatest triumph of love. And to me, the cross reveals the beautiful heart of Jesus, who my Jesus is and who my God the Father is, unlike anything else. After that, now you come to noon, 12 o'clock, and the whole thing became dark. You hear about that, isn't it? The whole place became dark. And I've read some commentary and other people, I think, talking about it's probably solar eclipse. And I have to say, it can't be. Because solar eclipse only lasts about 7.5 minutes. No more. This one was dark for 3 entire hours, like night. And all other things, like earthquakes, the whole universe was quaking in pain. Sun refused to give its light. I think most of the 3 hours, there was just silence, just the darkness, darkness. And Jesus didn't utter words. He just suffered silently, 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 silently for 3 hours. And then he says in John 19, verse 28, he says, I thirst. It's about his condition. Jesus literally went through hell on earth. Hell is a very dark place. It is a very hot place. It's a very thirsty place. Jesus was hanging there with a searing pain, shooting all across his vein, every nerve in pain, and he lost a lot of blood. He's dehydrating, his strength is giving away, and he's thirsty. Thirst is probably physically the most painful thing. It's far more than hunger. You can eat for about 40 days and still live. In fact, you can go longer. Thirst, after 3 days, my goodness, you know, every 5 minutes, your heart begins to pound because your blood gets literally thickened and you can feel just life ebbing away, just crying out if you're gone, you know, for a little while without drink. Jesus said, I thirst. Greatest physical torture. It's like a hell on earth. And actually, in Mark's gospel, it says that people trying to give Jesus some wine mingled with myrrh earlier. The wine mingled with myrrh is like anesthetic. And Jesus refused to drink it. because he wanted to feel the full brunt of the force of that pain, the weight of sin, that he was paying for something. He was suffering. All the consequences of our sin came upon Jesus. He's feeling and absorbing, experiencing, not refusing, accepting with full volition the full force of pain and agony due to sin. It was laid on his soul. So he's saying, after, he says actually, only after Jesus knew all was accomplished, he said, I thirst. And they gave him drink, you know, sour wine, and he drank it. He drank it. Some say it's probably just to stay awake, just to the final hour, just to stay awake. See, that sour drink that keeps you conscious. He doesn't want any pain, anesthetic, but he wants to stay awake for the last hour. But when he said, I thirst, he knew he accomplished everything. Soon after that, he says, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. We all know what that means. My God, why have you forsaken me? Mark 15. I think Jesus must have felt terrible loneliness. We all know what it feels like lonely, what it loneliness feels like, right? At times. That, you know, I think personally, when I went into ministry, full-time ministry, this was the greatest struggle. I think those who serve God, those who are in different stations, you know, loneliness at times. Jesus was never alone, he says. He's, you know, my Father is always with me. This is the only time in the universe that close connection with God the Father and God the Son was severed. Because Bible says at that moment, Jesus became sin. All of the sin that's compounded in the history of mankind, suddenly at that moment, came upon Jesus, and Jesus became sin. And Father had to turn his face away. And Jesus says, my God, why? This is the cup that Jesus dread to drink. Father, if possible, let it pass from me. That close relationship Jesus enjoyed all the time. I think we were doing some study on Psalm 27. David's fear. He doesn't want to fear man. He doesn't fear men, even the army coming against him. His fear is losing intimacy with God. Do not turn your servant away in anger by refusing me. See, David got very angry when the ark was coming in and then Uzzah got zapped. He couldn't bring the ark in. It was kind of God refused David from taking his presence. And that day, David was angry. The greatest fear, I think, for Christians is not losing salvation. Well, it's really bad if you lose. But to me, I've never really feared, ever, since I was like little, you know, I got saved. I knew, you know. Even when I, you know, fell away or sinned, I never really fell away for a long time. But when I failed God, I never feared. I'll suffer in hell? No, that's not. But it's about intimacy. Intimacy. When you lose intimacy, there's no point living this life. Jesus drank that cup. Oh my goodness. We will never know, isn't it? It'll take forever to understand what that meant to Jesus, for Father to say, no, Father to turn, Father to that love and the presence of God just withdrew, and he became alone. Wow, alone is a thing. What's the bitterest word? I think some years ago, there was a word study in England, Reader's Digest. The sweetest words, most, you know, loved words is the word mother. So everybody, I don't know why father is not there. I mean, you know, I protest bitterly protest, like Nathan's father, but mother. And the bitterest word is alone. when you feel in your heart, you feel that you know that you are alone. No one really cares for you that much. No one really loves you. You actually are alone. It's by the strength of your soul you're maintaining friendship. But you really are alone when you feel that. Jesus tasted all this so that we will never be alone. Amen? Amen. The sixth word he says, after that he said, it is finished. How did he say, it is finished? Did he say, it is finished? Or did he say, it is finished? Or did he say, it is finished? Which one? Last one. How do you know? Victory. You know, there's many ideas there. When you look at Gospel of Mark and Matthew and Luke, it actually says Jesus cried out loud. But it doesn't say what he said. When you look at John, the words are supplied. It is finished. His last cry, he also cried out loud. So even though Jesus, his strength was ebbing away, he was a strong man. Yeah. He was his carpenter. His hands will be probably about twice mine. He's a strong man. He cried out, "It is finished." What's finished? What's finished? The disciple training's finished? not quite. What's finished? His mission's all finished? He's done everything that God, yes. His life finished? His time on earth finished? Not quite. He had to wait another, 50 days or more before he departs the earth. What's finished? Now, I can't get into it. This is a whole sermon. But whatever it takes to whisk us away, rescue us from this puddle of sin to a full reconciliation with God, that work's been done. The work of salvation is finished, complete, all done. He's done it all. Amen? That's why we want to sing, Jesus paid it all. He really paid it all. There's something about us that we actually don't want to accept when God's done it all. You've done it all. You got nothing left for me to contribute. I'm a sinner, and I want to help God out. God says, no, you can't help. I do it all. Jesus alone, finished everything that we need for salvation. Amen. That's how good God is. That's the only term and condition he will accept us. Heaven's door will close shut when I say, Jesus and my little 2 cents contribution, my good works. Heaven's door will not open. You cannot have assurance of salvation. You cannot enjoy relationship with God if you say, Jesus, what you've done, and then I'm going to be good. I'm going to do this. And then that should be good enough. No, he says, no, you're not. You really haven't got the point at all. We're all lost, hopelessly, helplessly. From beginning to end, Jesus did it all. And we simply come to that conclusion. God, you did it all. All I can do. What can I do? I've sinned, fell, refused you. Insisted on my way, you woke me up, called repentance, realizing we are sinners and turning to God. Say, there's nothing left for me to do but accept, humbly, accept everything you've done for me. Amen. And that really profoundly humbles us. That's what we've got to do. Jesus paid it all. And then finally, Jesus had one more cry left. Father, into your hand I commit my spirit. And then he died. This is actually taken from Psalm 35, 31 verse 5. It's words that every Jewish boy learns before they go to sleep, they say this, into your hand I commit my spirit. And they go to sleep. But there is the next verse. It says, you have redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. You have redeemed me. So Jesus cried out. He says, only one word changes. He says, Father, into your hand I commit my spirit. And he breathed his last. I want to, you know, when we talk about the cross, we revisit it in so many different angles and so on. Every Easter, I think all the churches preach about the cross. Praise God, that's wonderful. I don't see just as a past, Jesus suffered, yeah, once for all, never to suffer again like this. Hallelujah. I don't want Jesus to suffer ever. And he won't. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, all powers in his hand. But is there in such a way that through this suffering, how can I put it? Like, I don't know exactly how to put it. Jesus is right now at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. Holy Spirit, who is one with Jesus, is interceding for us with groanings, too deep for words. Too deep for words, groanings. Jesus said, before he went away, you know, there is a fullness of joy that I'm going to enjoy once, but not quite yet, even after his resurrection, not quite yet. He says, when the last of you come into my kingdom, that's when I'm going to open my wine bottle and we begin to have the full joy of celebration. Until then, I'm going to hold back. He's interceding. One with the Holy Spirit. Is there a way in whatever you're going through, I'm going through in life, that somehow all this suffering that Jesus went through is very real? Somehow he enters in to our suffering today? I'm not saying Jesus is suffering like this. Saying all this, he still carries us in his heart. That there is a portion still in his heart, his love and concern and intercession, that his suffering actually reaches out and enters into our suffering when we are lonely, when we feel we are alone, when we feel we rejected, when we feel we are abused, when we feel we are maligned, when we feel we've been depreciated, when we feel betrayed by the closest friends, when we feel we are poor, we lack, when we are afraid. Now, Psalm 22 talks about these Roman soldiers as the bulls of Bashan surrounded me. It's like I'm like a dry potion, my strength ebbs away. When we feel we are weak, it's the same Jesus that suffered on the cross. Still the same Jesus with all that suffering in his heart somehow can enter into your life exactly where you are at, whatever need we are going through. I believe yes. Amen. That's something that I wanted to share, that this Jesus is not just historical suffering, but this is who Jesus is, and he's interceding for us. When we feel we are alone and weak, he's right there, bringing life. Hallelujah, bringing resurrection. I got more audience than I... Yes, amen. I think it's know exactly when to play that thing. I think I'll just sing, not talk too much. But this is the gospel we're called to proclaim. We are to experience Jesus in great joy and salvation. We are to also experience Jesus when you go through a certain type of pain that you can't share. There's a suffering that you go through. in life. That's where you meet Jesus. Still Jesus, the cross. Not as the one suffering helplessly, but as one who is raised, who can enter in, identify with you, enter in, strengthen you. And that's the gospel. Jesus that we met, that we are called to proclaim. Amen. To bring reconciliation with the world that is still suffering. There is only link to that joy and salvation. Reconciliation with God and health is that link of through Jesus, through the cross. And we are the recipients. Amen. Amen. And then whatever you've gone through, that you found Jesus. Whatever you've gone through in that place of pain, place of failure, place of darkness, that you've met Jesus in, that's the Jesus that we can share with those who haven't yet met Jesus that way. Amen? Amen? Amen, amen. You know, you really know whether somebody loves you by what extent they will go to share your suffering, isn't it? You know, when Mia is not well, I don't want to have party outside. Yeah? It's the same. When Nathan was sick, okay, get back to me when you're well because I don't have time for you. When you're happy, then talk to me. No. You want to be there. You want to enter in. That's the love. That's how you know. That's how we know our parents love us, because when we are helpless, when we pain, they suffer enormously on the inside. You know. When you know they suffer, and you're suffering as much as you, even though they can't enter into your heart, you know they suffer. The fact that they suffer, because you suffer, you know they love you. It's crucial. And thank God. We can't enter into one another, so to speak, with our spirit, but it's the Holy Spirit. Through Holy Spirit, there's a communion of the saints. Jesus can enter into the deepest part of our suffering, deepest part of our despair, deepest part of our failure. Get right in. Hallelujah. Lift us. Maybe not change circumstances straight away, but you know, there's a saying that, what is it? Tough times don't last. Tough people do. Jesus in you, the hope of glory. Amen. I'm going to just get the ushers to come and let's distribute the envelope. And I don't know how many of you are meditating on the, you know, the cross of Jesus. Not just religiously. You can do it any week, but especially this week. It's a really good time to get into Jesus and his suffering, because you know that's where you know you can come back to it. Even though that historical act is over, praise God, the same Jesus is on the throne and we know we can see him, we can meet with him, we can invite him to maybe areas of pain, still unhealed and needs healing. I believe as we share the communion table, there's a measure, greater measure of the presence of Jesus to come in and strengthen our heart, mend our brokenness, so that in turn we can go out and share this Jesus. Sometimes, I mean, we actually can feel like, it's too much, too deep, you know, I'm gonna, this is an area of my life that will never be healed, or it's too late. Just give up hope that things can be redeemed. No, no, no. Jesus is greater. Jesus suffered more. No matter what you're suffering, Jesus suffered more. He understands. The cross, Jesus of the cross, can come in, make us whole. Jesus paid it all.
Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I hear the Savior say, Thy strength indeed is small. Watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand, died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow.
Oh, the blood
of Jesus.
Thank you. hear Jesus saying, "Don't worry, your name is written in the book of life. You will be with me in paradise." Can you hear Jesus saying, "I know your physical needs. You may feel alone. It may be too much for you, but I've got my friends. I've got sons and daughters. They take you away. They take care of you. Jesus will arrange all the relationships in the body of Christ, looking at you. Don't worry. When the pain's too much, I'll just send my messengers, and they will take you to a place of safety and be with you." Can you see Jesus saying, "I thirst"? He's absorbing all the pain due to sin. Most of all, can you hear Jesus saying, "It is finished"? He says, "It is finished! Nothing further to add. Nothing further to add. It's finished. You can rest." As we take this communion, what we are saying is, "Lord, I know my name is written in the book of life, not because I am good, I've done this, I'm serving you in ministry, this or that. There's no striving whatsoever. You don't have to do a thing. In fact, you gotta rest. Come to a stop and saying, God, Lord, I need you to save me, and you've done everything that is needed to be done, and I simply come to accept everything that you've done. My name is written in a book of life, and I can rest in what you've done." Hallelujah. Not only for my eternal soul, but also in this life, Abba, Jesus, you take care of me. You think of me. You care for me. You're with me. And Lord Jesus, you yielded your spirit to the Father's care, and you went ahead. Say, "Father, I commit my spirit." Jesus went from this life into the next, the realm of the dead. Hallelujah. But the death could not hold him down. He's the Lord of glory. Hallelujah. The grave door was kicked out. Jesus was resurrected with power, not from this age, but to ages to come. When he says, "I make all things new," there is a life that he possessed that cannot be put down by death and sin. It is incorruptible life and power. He came back with that life. And Jesus saying, "Hey, this is the resurrection life. I come through and I'm alive forevermore. This is the life that you're going to follow me into." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We have that life, latent form, residing inside of us. Amen. And as we take it, this is our confession of faith. "Lord Jesus, that blood that was shed on the cross, you shed it for me. I drink it. I take it that is in me. Because it is in me by faith, I take it to confirm. Yes, the blood that is flowing in my vein, I live not by my life, but by the life that you've given me." Amen. Hallelujah. Let's drink it. Let's drink it. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We drink this cup in remembrance of you. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Lord, you are the Lord of the cross who understands our every pain and weakness. You enter into every area of brokenness, hallelujah, with resurrection power that is not subject to sin and death, oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we declare, Lord, this is the life by which we live, Lord, your blood. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You've taken all our sin away. And Lord, we take this bread. Let's take the bread. This is the body that Jesus broke for us. Most people believe that Jesus probably received 39 stripes on his back. And I've heard, I'm not a doctor, but so far they found out that there are 39 different strains of sicknesses and diseases. Jesus' body was broken. He suffered enough so that we can enjoy his health. So Lord, we thank you. Let's take it by faith. all the provision that came out of the cross, we receive it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's take it by faith. Thank you, Lord. It's a very life we receive, Lord. Hallelujah. Everything that we need for the journey, our health, our provision, our mental strength, oh God, all that we need, Lord, we take it because this is the living bread, the manna. Lord, that is everything that we need is represented, Lord God, in the body that you broke for us, oh God. We take it and receive it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Why don't we all stand? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I think we're going to just close it soon, but if you want to,
Father, we're so in love with you. We don't have any words to express our love. There's no word in our language that can express the gratitude that we have for you. And Easter, Lord, is that time when we're reminded of just how vast and how deep and how high your love is for us, that you made a public display of the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. What can we give you in return except just our lives as a living sacrifice? Our service is nothing. There's nothing, nothing. There's absolutely not a thing. Our tithes, our offerings, there's nothing we can bring that would satisfy you. In fact, you've said so many times in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, that your offerings of bulls and sacrifices, they weary me. And what is it that we can give you but a heart of gratitude and love? We've got nothing that would satisfy you. So today, I really want to thank you for this precious reminder of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He's our Messiah. We have received him. We've been grafted in. We've received him. So today, Lord God, we don't give you anything, nothing. We don't come out in our car or a public transport, however we got here, and saying, yay, we've satisfied the law in coming into the temple or into the house of God. No, it's not that at all. Our bodies are the temple, and our bodies just offer up praise and thanksgiving to you today. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the finished work of Calvary. In your wonderful name, thank you.
Father, I ask your forgiveness today for what we as a nation have turned this Passover into. Lord, we go out into the street and people say, we're having a holiday. People say, we're going away, we're going away and we don't have to work. Lord, forgive us because it's not what you meant it to be. Forgive us, Lord, that our government has turned your laws upside down. Lord, that our governments have invaded your kingdom. Lord, the devil has said there's a separation between church and state. There is no separation, God, because we have kingdom government, and it's kingdom government that will reign on this earth. Father, I thank you, Lord, that we stand today as your people, your church, your bride, your army, that we stand today as your beloved. Father, that we remember, the work that was accomplished on the cross. Lord, that you looked at your Son as he became sin itself. Lord, that nothing will ever separate the Son from the Father. Just that wall of sin, Lord, that you looked on, Father, that you did not turn away, that you looked on, because you had the cross in your mind and in your heart since the beginning of creation. Lord, the cross that was going to set us free, that we can turn our hearts, our minds, our wills towards the purposes and the love of Jesus Christ and say, yes, Lord, that our names are indeed written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. Just imagine a church. Your name is written in heaven. You are known by angels. You are known by God himself. And across your name is written, paid in full by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So we come to you today, Lord, as a thankful church, as your church. And we ask, Lord, that you raise us up as a body with resurrection power and wisdom and might, that we will pray and never cease praying, that we will never cease glorifying your name, and that your kingdom will reign not just in our hearts, but in the earth, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Thank you. Just one last person.
Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord. You are the resurrection and the life. Lord, nothing that we can do, Lord, to qualify, Lord, to come into your holy presence. Lord, we thank you. We cannot save ourselves, but you did it all for us, O God. Lord, we just thank you. We come to you, God, with a grateful and thankful heart to express our love for you. Thanking you, God, for the great sacrifice, for your amazing love, amazing grace upon us, O God. Lord, we just thank you, Lord. It's only covered by your blood that we can come into your holy presence, that we can enjoy time in your presence, O God. Nothing that we can do to qualify ourselves, Lord, but your bloodshed on the cross qualifies us, Father. So, Lord, we give you thanks. We give you praise for all that you have done for us. We do not deserve what you have done. That's why we thank you for your amazing grace. Lord, we love you for all that you have done for us. So help us to love you in return. You gave us your all. So help us to give you our all, God. Thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Love, can you raise G? We're going to close with this one.
Oh,
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, just come upon us with great revelation of your love, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for the cross. Lord, we pray that we'll be people of the cross and people of power, people of resurrection, people of revelation, and a people of love. Lord, we thank you for our salvation. Thank you, Lord, for making us minister of reconciliation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you glory and praise. Hallelujah. And all God's people said, amen.